care if we drowned? What? Why are you afraid? Duh! Look! Now, I actually didn't know whether to share this part or not, because I didn't pick, there's a lot of choices. I didn't pick any of these because I think any of them particularly apply here to your situation at this time. These are just the ones I'm drawn to, so I'm throwing them out there. That word afraid only happens three times in the entire New Testament. Now, the word afraid occurs a lot, but the Greek word for afraid here only happens three times. It happens here in Mark 4. It happens describing this exact same story in Matthew 8. So those only count for one for me, right? So this means it only happens twice. Let me give you the other place that it happens. It's in Revelations chapter 21. And then we'll start with verse 5 and so you have the context, and we'll just read down through, and then we'll come to that word. It says, "The one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I'm making everything new.' And then he said to me," who would have been John, who was writing this book, "he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" Well, I'm doing pretty good so far. And then he says, "But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Like, whoa. I mean, those are two pretty different things to, you know, put together there. My point to you today is the word afraid here is coward. And it means coward. The word that Jesus used in the boat with in the middle of the storm when they asked, "Don't you care if we drown?" He literally said, "Why are you being such cowards?" Now, I don't particularly appreciate that. Because that's what he's saying. Afraid is sort of a milder way to say it. Why are you cowards? Jesus doesn't seem to answer my question directly. Why not? Why doesn't he do that? We have another instance in Matthew 15. There isn't a 51, is there? That's what happens when you're born in the 50s. It says that Jesus went away. This is a familiar passage. Jesus went away from there, withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her word. Not a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying after us." He answered, and this answers to the disciples, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.'" I mean, I just don't like the way this story's going. Am I the only one that ever struggled with this story? I mean, I know if you've read the Bible, you know how this ends, but still, I'm struggling with this. And he answered, It's not right to take the children's bread, throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was instantly healed. I don't like it when Jesus ignores my requests. Sometimes he does, though. Sometimes he does not answer. Sometimes, in fact, I feel ignored. There's only two places in the New Testament in which Jesus said someone had great faith, and neither of them were Jews. They were both Romans. They were both Gentiles, one of them being the Roman centurion who came for his servant to be healed. And Jesus said, wow, that's some faith you have. You don't even need me to go to your house. He just said, don't come, just send the word. I get authority to say the word. And here this woman who refused to be a Jew. Matthew chapter 17. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, he replied. He has no clue. Anybody ever answered a question just out of an initial response and you had no clue? You just want to look good in front of these people. Anybody ever done that? Never. Good. Glad to hear it. Yes, he does, he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked. Jesus, I mean, I'm thinking Jesus knows what's just happened because Jesus is Jesus, and sometimes he has, you know, the inside track. This happened out there somewhere, and Peter walks into the house, and Jesus asks him a question. What do you think, Peter? It's remarkable to me when I ask Jesus a question, he turns right around and asks me about my own thoughts. What about your thoughts? Hey, Cliff, what about your thoughts? What do you think, Cliff? He turns it inside. And this is the last example I chose. I actually have a point. I'm going to get there in a minute. This is what preachers do. So, hang on. Matthew 26. Beginning with verse 6, while Jesus was in Bethany in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured it on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Their question is, why this waste? Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, here's Jesus' question. Why are you bothering this woman? Why are you bothering this woman? Why this waste? Why are you bothering this woman? Seems to be Jesus' preferred method of responding to us. Why? Why? I mean, I've been asking that question. Why is this the way you seem to respond to our questions? I know he loves our questions. He invites our questions. Our questions need to be voiced. Why does he respond this way so many times? 3 direct answers to 187 questions. How does he respond? I think he wants us to know something about ourselves. I'm not saying our questions are bad. I do believe in my life, a lot of the questions I ask, they were just the wrong questions. And Jesus knew how to go right to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter was me. And he asked a question that turned the light another direction and said, and what about your thoughts? And what about your heart? And let's look inside of you. That's it. I'm closing the book. The iPad. And this is what I would like to leave us with, and something I'd like for us to do. I cannot imagine the questions that you have asked yourselves, each other, God. Today, I wonder what question God is asking each of us individually in the middle of our question. Because I think that, I'm not saying the other is unimportant, but I'm saying the question that he is asking, I believe, is the most important question. And what I would like for us to do, for those of you who are willing, and for those of you who aren't, do it anyway. I'll set my little timer here for 5 minutes. And what I would like for us to do is, sitting in the middle of all of our questions, and believe me, I have mine. Sitting in the middle of all of our questions today, could we be quiet for 5 minutes? And could we ask Jesus, is there a question you are asking me? And then simply listen. You may hear something, you may not hear something. This is not a test. We're not checking a box. I guarantee you, if there's a question he's asking you today, I'm pretty sure you're going to hear it as we make ourselves available for that. Because until when Andy asked me, hey, you want to share while you're there? And I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to share or not. Do I have anything to contribute to this conversation at this time in the history of this church? It was a bit of a daunting request. And I felt like, obviously it's not us. Jesus has something to say. And I did what I'm asking you to do. I stopped and I listened to see if there was something. Something that he would use my voice to say to you at this time. And I felt like this was it. What question? I suspect there are some of us today that haven't even thought about what question he's asking us, because we're busy asking our question. Maybe some of us have stopped and considered what he might be asking us. I don't know. So let's pause. Timer will be 5 minutes. I will sit. Jesus, grant us the grace to still our own hearts. If there's a question you are posing to each of us, grant us the grace to hear it. Thank you for honoring that. Without in any way discounting any of the legitimate questions that you hold for him, I am suggesting that for a period of time, that you turn your attention to what question he might be asking you. It may prove to be the most important question.